Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, New Testament Prophecy. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I've got a brief exhortation to you this evening, and then we're going to have prophetic demonstration. Hallelujah. How many of you have received a personal word this week? How many of you are happy that you received a word? Hallelujah. We've heard some wonderful feedback already from the prophetic words, and it's just such an encouragement. And I want to just take a moment to exhort the pastors who are here. Pastors, make place for the prophetic ministry. Amen. I've discovered with all the things of God, you've got to make room and time and place if you want God to move in power. And the prophetic is a wonderful gift to the body of Christ that will bless your church and stir up destiny and hope in your people. So I encourage the pastors who are here, just make place for the prophetic. Invite prophetic ministries into your church. But don't just look for prophets who just prophesy over everybody, but those who have an impartation, who can stir up your people in their own prophetic anointing. That is so important. The fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, not to do all the ministry themselves. Okay? Say amen to that. Amen. And so it's important to have equipping prophets who come in and impart. And so, I just want to encourage the pastors in that. Now, I want to speak for a few moments tonight about a response to the Word of God that is illustrated in two people who receive prophetic words in the first chapter of Luke. Very significant words with a very significant messenger. Gabriel is the messenger. He's, sort of high up in the echelon of angelic, forces. But I want you to understand something. The least one in the kingdom of God is greater than angels. You know, I despise not prophesying, and don't despise preaching. You know, we tend to get so ho-hum, and we need to understand this, that when your pastor stands to preach on Sunday, he is speaking under anointing. And if you will receive it as a word from God, it can bring forth fruit in you. And I don't care how dry, barren, and dusty it is, because it is the Word of God that performs the purposes of God in your life. So honor the ministry of the Word. Honor the ministry of the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, and the prophetic declaration of the Word. Gabriel is an angel. Angel simply means messenger. It doesn't matter who the messenger is, who God sends as the messenger. The important thing is the message. I said this morning, and I want you to hear it. You don't reject your post or your mail because you don't like the way the mailman is dressed. And that lesson I got from David Wilkerson, who was walking on the streets of New York, and a man from the Orient had been sent of the Lord, caught a plane to New York, didn't know why he was going except God told him to go, and he walked up to David Wilkerson and delivered a word from God. And David Wilkerson was there as a Assemblies of God pastor, and he was offended by the package in which the message came. Because he thought God should send somebody of significance to give him a word. And God gave him that little lesson. You don't reject the mail because the dog next door bit the mailman's pants and tore his britches and he, you know, is full of mud and dirty and so on. You don't say, no, I don't want the mail. Come back when you're dressed better. Yeah. Watch out that you don't reject the word of the Lord because you don't like the package it comes in and the messenger who delivers it. Gabriel comes in to Zacharias with a wonderful prophetic announcement. Listen to this. Verse 11, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, hot dog, that's wonderful, I receive it. No, he didn't. He says, how shall I know this? Give me confirmation. I need some confirmatory words. Watch out. Watch out. Unbelief is subtle. Unbelief is subtle. Well, I'll just lay this before the Lord and wait for confirmation. Be careful. Angel, how shall I know this? Then his second reaction is the one I want to focus on. For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. He immediately looks at his ability to bring the word of God to fulfillment. And because he sees impossibility, unbelief is in his heart, and he is rejecting the very word that has come from God's presence through Gabriel the messenger, because he looks at himself. Now let me tell you, one of the greatest enemies that you face in your reaching your prophetic destiny that God is speaking over you is that you put your eyes on yourself and all the limitations of your situation and all the improbabilities that you face. Please, people, don't do that. If God has spoken, your focus has got to be on the God who has spoken. Not on you and your ability to see this word fulfilled or the lack of possibilities that might exist in your life. Zacharias focused on the impossibilities of his age and the deadness of Elizabeth's womb. Okay? And so Gabriel pulls himself up to his full angelic height. And he gives his credentials. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. What a mercy of God to Zacharias. Shut the boy up before he speaks more unbelief and defeats the word of God. Some of you need to get mute because already come on. You need to mute out the unbelief, the words of unbelief. God says through Gabriel, you're going to be mute because you did not believe. Listen to this. You did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now, the prophecy concerning the birth of John the Baptist is one of those prophecies that is going to be fulfilled no matter what. Now, I've got to say this to you. There are some prophetic words that will be fulfilled no matter what, but there are many, most of them are dependent upon faith in your part. Okay? This one was going to be fulfilled no matter what because it was the destined purpose of God. God had planned it. It was going to be fulfilled, and that's why he made Zacharias mute, because he wasn't going to get any cooperation from this unbelieving priest. And so he was mute because God wanted to bring the word about. And listen to me. God wants to do things. That's why I encourage this morning those of you there to you know, speak the word of God. Declare what God has said. And on Wednesday night we spoke about that. Let the word that you receive become your own word by declaring and speaking it forth. You're going to be mute because you did not believe the words. Okay, that's Zacharias' response. The same messenger, Gabriel, goes to another person. Verse 26. Now in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Now, she also asks a how, but it's not a how of unbelief. It's a how desiring more revelation. It's a legitimate how. You see the difference? Zechariah says, "How can I know this for sure?" Mary says, "How are you going to do it, God?" It's legitimate to ask how. If I had to tell my son to go and paint the garage and he comes to me and says, "Dad, how do you want me to do it? What color do you want me to paint it?" I'm not going to say, "Shut up, son, just go and do it." I'm going to give him more information. You understand? It is very legitimate to go to God with your prophetic word and say, "God, I'm ready to receive more direction when you're ready to give it on how you want to do it. Is there anything that I need to be doing? Is there any role that I need to play in this whole deal? God, would you reveal it to me? But until you speak, I'm not going to get involved because I don't want to thwart or abort what you want to do in me." Mary asks a legitimate how. And so here is the response, and this is my word for you tonight. One of the most precious verses in the Bible. I love it, I love it, I love it. Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Now I want to tell you what the Greek says, because, and in fact the King James Version, if you've got it, is accurate to the Greek, and it's wonderful. What Gabriel says is, "Therefore that thing that shall be born of you shall be holy and shall be called the offspring or the Son of God." Now watch this. The word of God, God's word to you, is a seed. Now in the Greek language, there's no differentiation between the seed that you put in the ground and the seed of a man by which conception takes place. Same Greek word, sperma, from which we get our English word sperm. Okay? And we know from the word of God that when you were born again, how were you born again? You were born again of the seed of God. I want you to understand this. Please hear this. The beginnings of your spiritual life and all of your spiritual life and everything God does in your life, he does by his seed, which is his word. You're going to get nothing without the word of God. Everything is by the seed of the word of God. Now, God has designed it this way, that the moment you receive the seed of the word, there comes the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as I taught on Wednesday night. The Holy Ghost comes upon you. The power of the Most High begins to overshadow you. Why? Because God wants to protect the seed so that what is birthed is of him, and he's willing to claim it as his offspring. Yeah. See, he said, "The way I'll claim what is birthed in you as my son is by the Holy Ghost." I want to encourage you, listen, child of God, One of the most important things that you need to continually do as somebody who is an incubator of the prophetic word or the seed of the word of God in you is to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. The power for the accomplishing of the purpose of God is the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just exhort you and encourage you to be one who perpetually and continually yields to the Holy Spirit, because that is how God has designed it. The power of the Word and the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit brooding and hovering over you, protecting that seed in you so that what is birthed is holy. Now, here's what happens. If you get involved and you get your dirty mitts on it, it ain't going to be holy. Do you understand? So God is saying to you, listen, I'm going to bring it to pass. I'm going to fulfill the word. The word shall be fulfilled in the proper time. Trust me in it. Only do what I tell you to do for the rest. Trust the overwhelming presence and power of the Holy Spirit, who's going to come upon you, who's going to hover over the word, and is going to bring it to fruition. And when it comes to fruition, I'm going to claim it as mine. Now, you don't have to look very far around in the Christian church to recognize that we have produced Ishmaels in the Church of Jesus Christ. And what has happened is this, and I know it's line upon line, precept upon precept, but so many people get a word and they're not willing to wait patiently for the due season of the seed. Every seed has a season. And there is a season of waiting. There are many women who have been pregnant who wished it wasn't 9 months. But you know what? You don't want to try and make the baby come quicker than God designed it. There's all kinds of problems associated with that. It will be fulfilled in its proper time, and too many of us are impatient, and so we want to get our hands involved. And Abraham did that because God gave Abram the promise of a child, and you know, it was through Sarah, but Sarah's womb was barren and the time was going along, and so Abraham thought he would help God out in the fulfillment of God's word, and Ishmael was born. And today in Israel, Ishmael and Isaac are still having trouble because somebody thought it was a wise thing to help God out to fulfill a prophetic promise. There are a lot of churches today that are birthed because somebody tried to help God out to fulfill a prophetic word that was spoken over them. And there's a measure of blessing. Listen, Ishmael got blessing, but Isaac got the inheritance. Yeah. And I'm telling you, go for the inheritance. Don't just go for the blessing. See? And for God to claim what is birthed in Mary as his own son and to call it holy, it's got to be his operation of the Holy Spirit. And then I'll just give you a little aside. Now indeed, verse 36, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, and here's a verse that is such a precious verse for those of you who have received a prophetic word. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That's the attitude we should have. Not, okay, Lord, give me a little bit of information and I'll help you out. But Lord, here I am, a willing vessel. I can't figure it out. I don't see how it can work. You know, if I were to look at the natural, it just seems totally impossible. But Lord, I'm not looking at the natural. My eyes are upon you, and here I am. I receive that word. There's one other thing the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you. God gave Mary a little prompting, said, Elizabeth, your cousin, is pregnant. And Mary did a very wise thing. She went to go and hang out with Elizabeth. It's really important where you hang out for the destiny to be accomplished in your life. You hang around doubt and unbelief, and I'm telling you, the purposes of God are going to be aborted. Go and hang around other people who are pregnant. Pregnant with the promises of God. People of faith. I don't want to spend a moment around people who are dead in unbelief and who are full of negativity and always talking impossibility. You've got to hang around people who are pregnant with what God is doing and are full of faith and are expecting. It's so important. The associations will determine whether you get to your destiny or not. And some of you need to change your associations, change your friendships. Quit getting around those people who are always talking doom and gloom and doubt and unbelief, and get around people who are talking faith and possibility.
Yes. 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 Yes.
It's incredible when you find Elizabeth, Mary going into Elizabeth's house, because I mean this is it. This is it. When Mary walks up to Elizabeth's house and greets her from outside as they would, something happens. John the Baptist in her womb gets full of the Holy Ghost and jumps and somersaults in her womb. And so Mary comes in, and boy, Elizabeth just goes off, and you know, it's like, and you know what she says? Why is it that the mother of my Lord should visit me? How did she get that? By the Holy Ghost. See, she was seeing in the realm of the Spirit. She was so full of faith because of what had taken place in her. So when Mary comes in and the Spirit of God, oh man, I love this. When the Spirit of God falls on Elizabeth, how did the Spirit of God fall on him, on Elizabeth, and John get full of the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb? Because Jesus just walked in the door.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you see him? No, he was this big. He was just a seed, just a little fertilized seed in his mother's womb. But in God's economy, it's as good as done. Listen to me. In the kingdom of God, what you have received as a prophetic word is as good as done, and you better start seeing it that way. And hang around people who are seeing it that way. You need the encouragement of those around you who are seeing the fulfillment and seeing the end result. That's why I like hanging around this guy. Greg Darcy from Cape Town, our friends from Cape Town. Because this guy, if God, he gets a word from God, he sees that it's done, it's already over, we're in it. What? Faith. People who are full, pregnant, and are speaking the end result. The mother of my Lord. Hey, she's barely pregnant. Elizabeth's calling her mother. Holy Ghost. Listen, I want to encourage you. Now, I could get stoned for this, but there are some of you, please hear me. You're hanging around churches, and I'm not trying to be mean, but where you're never going to reach your destiny in God, because there's no encouragement to the seed of God in you. There's death being spoken over you. There's no life in the Spirit going out over you. There's no faith being taught. There's doubt and unbelief every Sunday that you're listening to. And I'm saying to you tonight, what are you doing there? You're not going to see your prophetic destiny. Now, Pastor Errol is the president of the Ministers Fraternal, and he might have to solve some problems because some preachers get mad at me, but it's okay. Listen. It's just too important for you to... It's too important for you to get to your prophetic destiny to go back into a situation of death and doubt and unbelief. You need to be in a place where the Holy Spirit is moving, where the Spirit of God is hovering, where faith is being preached, where people are believing the Word of God, where there are other people who are pregnant with the promises of God. Mary hung around Elizabeth for the 6 months until John's born. And boy, by that time, I mean, she knew it. And he has one more thing. Praise and worship is the atmosphere of the creative purposes of God. Because in that atmosphere, Mary bursts out into her Magnificat, that we call it. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in the God of my salvation. For he has regarded the lowly estate of his handmaiden. Yay! Read it, man. Whoa! She starts praising the Lord. Listen, you've got to get into praise and worship. You got into an atmosphere where there's true praise and worship. And I know I'm messing, but I'm just speaking apostolically. And, well, if you're going to reach your destiny, there are certain things that you need to just allow into your life for it to be accomplished. Father, I pray for your people. I pray for the city. Oh, God, would that every church in the city was alive in the Holy Spirit. Would, God, that every church in the city was a place where faith is being ministered and preached, where people are pregnant with the Word of God, where people are entering into the high praises, where they're magnifying the Lord. Lord, our God, I pray for the people who have been receiving words in these days. Lord, that you'll just move us into those dimensions of the Spirit where we will be encouraged and built up, where we'll be able to bring forth that which you want to bring forth within us. Lord, we don't want to create Ishmaels. We want offspring. We want the prophetic word being fulfilled in a way that you will be willing to own it as your offspring, where you'll say, that's holy, that's my son. Lord, deliver us from aborting your purposes. Deliver us, Lord, from trying to help you out in producing Ishmaels. Lord, I'm asking you for the spirit of Mary to be on your people this evening. A spirit of submission to the purposes of God, but a spirit that is willing to get around those who are of like spirit and fellowship with those who are going to speak faith and life. Because Elizabeth said to Mary, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the word spoken to her by the angel. Lord, I speak a blessing over those who have believed that there will be a fulfillment of the word spoken over them by the prophet in these days. Lord, the blessing is on faith. The blessing is on faith. So, Lord, I pray tonight for an impartation of faith over your people. Blessed be your name. Encourage us again by the prophetic demonstration. Even, Lord, if we don't get a specific word to ourselves, listen, I just want to say this as we bowed in prayer. You might not have got a specific word during these days, but that doesn't mean that you haven't heard the voice of God. Because many of you, when you've heard a prophecy spoken over someone else, something has sparked in your spirit. Lay hold of that. Grab that. Grab that. And besides that, you've been in the atmosphere of prophetic impartation. And so something has been imparted to you. So though one of us might not have stood over you and spoken a word, that does not mean that you're going out of here barren. There's enough word here for you to go out pregnant and see the purposes of God fulfilled in you. So grab it, lay hold of it, and be like Mary and say, Lord, here I am. I didn't get a specific word, but I receive the promises. I receive the destiny that you have for me. And I want to be pregnant tonight. I want you to let the Holy Ghost come upon me in power so that the word can bring forth fruit and something wonderful can be birthed in me. So Lord, I bless you. I praise you. I magnify your name. We rejoice in you. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I just feel very strongly right now. It's going to go on the tape, but I feel so impressed of the Spirit of God that you said there's going to be somebody listening to the tape of this message, and I see you driving in your car, but you're barren in your womb. And so in the name of Jesus, I speak an opening to that womb.
Yes.
The Lord says, put your hand on your womb right now. Just put your hand. You're going to feel a heat going through it. And I speak an opening of the womb.
Yes.
The creative life to be birthed within this womb in Jesus' name. And great will God will greatly receive the glory that will flow from that child.
Hallelujah.
In fact, it's more than one person.
Hallelujah. Yes, thank you.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.